Good morning, everyone. It's a Thursday, and it's not snowing yet. We're going to get started, and we have Peggy Ogden, a TMR member, here to introduce Frank. And Peggy has her own consulting firm. But before that, she was the interim executive director of the Allen Foundation, and she was president and CEO of the Central New York Community Foundation. So who more appropriate than Peggy to come up and introduce Frank Lazarski?
Good morning. Thank you very much, Eileen, for this opportunity. I am also on the United Way Board of Directors, so even more appropriate. Before I begin to introduce Frank, I just wanted to tell you about my first years at the Community Foundation well over 30 years ago, and I would be talking to people about my new job at the Community Foundation, and they go, oh, you're like the United Way. And for all these years, I've been explaining how the United Way and the Community Foundation are different. Number one, most of the funding for United Way comes out of people's annual income. The Community Foundation really depends upon support from people's assets instead. And we like to say that the Community Foundation is the community savings account and United Way is the checking account, and you need both. Both are vitally needed, and they both deserve very generous support, so I put that plug in. Frank has had a really wonderful career serving this community. He was the Parks Commissioner under Mayor Young. He was the Executive Director of CNY Works, which was formerly known as the Private Industry Council. He was also the very first executive director of Syracuse 2020, a group of business and community leaders with a focus on education, neighborhoods, government, and downtown. And in 2003, he was hired to be the president of our local United Way, which coordinates the largest annual fund drive in support of human services in our community. And he recently announced his retirement, so we're glad that we have a chance to hear from you before you actually walk out the door. But Frank is not only defined by his career. He honed his leadership skills at Most Holy Rosary, where he was president of his senior class. He also demonstrated great leadership in sports. And as a matter of fact, he was a basketball phenom and earned the nickname Pop Gun. I think John Gillen could have used your help yesterday. He is also a tenacious tennis player. And in retirement, I understand that he really wants to start working on his golf game, and I understand it needs a lot of work. I've just been told. So, just to be helpful, I've got a whole bunch of old golf balls for you so that you will have a lot of practice. And I know we all wish Frank well in his retirement. The best is yet to come. And just late breaking news, I just found out about last night, on the 28th, Central New York Business Journal is going to be making their not-for-profit awards, and Frank will be getting a lifetime achievement award at that time, so I'm sure you will earn that job. Welcome, Frank.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to first thank the Thursday Morning Roundtable folks and Eileen for having me here today. But I want to tell you, I started off with an error. You were all late, and I was early, because I was waiting for you at Drumlin's this morning. Yes, indeed. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to retire, okay? I think of course I know where TMR is. It's at Drumlin's. It's been there for years. Well, I live like 3 minutes from here, and there is no easy way to get from here to Drumlin. So I'm hopefully no police officers or cameras were looking at me when I was coming through. So again, I want to thank you for having me here today. And before I start, I am going to go off script just a bit this morning, and Eileen's going to watch me to make sure I stay on time. But I want to do two things. I want to thank all of you. As I look around the room, there are so many generous donors, supporters, and champions for United Way in our community. And I want to thank you all for all that you do for our community, for United Way, for the Community Foundation. Gifford Foundation is represented here. Thank you so much for that. The other thing I want to do is recognize, and I don't know if anybody's here from the Syracuse City School District, but last night the Board of Education named Jaime Elisea the, isn't that great? So I've known Jaime a long time, and Peggy was kind enough to mention Syracuse 2020. And by the way, we can really get off script with 2020 and consensus and all that if you want. But I'll tell you two things. One is when we started 2020, when I started with 2020, we wanted to really focus on the Syracuse City School District. And so we decided to do a couple of things. We decided to close Geta Street, put a banner across it in honor Fowler High School. For at the time, and this was about 2001, Fowler had the best graduation rate of the four high schools, the very best graduation rate. And the principal was Jaime Elisea. So that's how I got to know Jaime, and I sat with next to him the other night at the State of the County address given by County Executive Joni Mahoney, and at one point she said, and isn't it wonderful that the Syracuse City School District is a 60% graduation rate right now, and Jaime kind of whispered to me, it's 61%. So he's very proud of that, and I'm very proud of the work that that he does in the school district and the investments that United Way can make in them. The other thing I want to tell you is that it really is funny that I'm here at the zoo because as part of the Young administration, we worked with the Pirro administration to open the zoo as it now stands. Before, it was a city part of the city parks, and Mayor Alexander, who I never worked for at the time, but made a deal with then County Executive John Mulroy to take over part of the zoo. And then they left it that way. So the devil was in the details for us to work out, and I see Elaine Walters here. She was personnel commissioner at the time. We had all sorts of back and forth going on. And at the time, for the county parks, Commissioner Gary McLaughlin was here. And we were able to figure it out. We were very proud of the fact that we were able to open this zoo, a county facility, now named after Rosamond Gifford Foundation, on a city park. And that was pretty neat. And the other end of it, Mayor Young said, you know what, let's reopen the golf course, too. Now, as you heard, I am not a good golfer, okay? So one of my first assignments was to reopen the golf course. So we needed a lot of PR and a lot of spin on that. And I see Joe Driscoll here. And Joe's a great performer, also happens to be running for office. But his dad, Neil Driscoll, was really able to help us do all the PR, all the marketing, and all the spin to reopen that golf course. So, Joe, if you would remember that to your dad today that I mentioned, that he was the one that made it all happen from the spin point of view. So in any event, we're going to talk a little bit about United Way and about the community, and just for a few minutes. So I'm going to take you kind of past, present, and future, and I'm going to roam a little bit here, and I guess we're going to do some questions. So United Way was locally incorporated in 1921. I was not the president then. I just want everybody to know that. And they raised their first year a little over $500,000. And what's interesting here is half of it went to the Red Cross. And many United Ways still around the country have that real partnership with the Red Cross. Some of you may remember that here in Syracuse. So I love this part of this particular slide. Our first board chair and campaign chair was H.W. Smith, Hulbert Smith, from Smith Typewriters. And isn't it amazing? Those guys, the Smith brothers, and their names are all over. Lyman Smith is up at the university. I think it's the engineering building. I mean, these guys are pretty proud of what they were doing with the typewriter, right? Think about what they must be thinking wherever they are today about iPads and Apple Watches and all of that. But in the early days of United Way, the Smith brothers were the guys that were making it all happen. So can you imagine? I can tell you, we still have the little handwritten receipts that we give out, that they used to give out. Now we track everything with technology. It's incredibly much more sophisticated than it was. Some of the other names that I know some of you must remember in our community that were chairs of our campaign. Peggy mentioned she's on the United Way board. We have others here. Ginny Becedo O'Neill is our vice chair and currently leading the search for my position. She's right over here. Ginny, raise your hand. Anybody wants to talk to her about the job? There she is. But think about these names. Krause, Clary, Hancock, Shenick, Markert, Len Markert. I loved Len Markert. Len Markert taught me a lot about fundraising. If you didn't know him, he was a real character. James Marble. Any of you remember Marble Farms? Right down the street from here. Real strong leader of United Way. And, of course, leaders like Dietz and Jack John F.X. Mannion, Kerner, Stanley Coyne, all of these were names that were part of our community, buildings that are named after these folks. These guys were some real leaders. Interestingly, not many women's names up there. And that, because in that those days, that wasn't happening that way. In names of the companies, we were called the Community Chest, changed, I think, in 1973 to the United Way of Central New York. But look at these companies that we once had that were vibrant here in this community. I'm not going to go through them all, but GE. GE had, what, 3,000 or 4,000 employees, and they had their own department store. Some of you may remember that, the Gem Store. That was the own, and some of the banks. I know there's some bankers in the room. So these were part of our history and of the community and certainly part of the history of United Way. And I know you're going to remember some of these agencies. I just happened to pick this book up the other day when I was kind of doing a little look back. And by the way, a very young Clarence Jordan is in here. If you want to see his picture, he might be willing to give you his own. Clarence, can we have a hand for Clarence? Clarence is one of the best guys, best community guys, best fundraisers. Clarence, you're in here. You want to look at it. Little less salt and pepper in your hair back then. But look at some of these names of these agencies that we had back then. The Lighthouse, which is now Aurora, downstairs from us at United Way. Of course, we were just talking the other day about the Urban League. And I love this. The YWCA was also part of the USO, United Services Organization. And I was running at the time. So truth be told, I got involved with United Way back in the 70s when I was running the CYO, the Central CYO, for Catholic Charities. And so Harry Honan was the boss of Catholic Charities at the time. And, of course, Harry goes to United Way. And then many years later, I go and, you know, take Harry's spot there after a couple of directors or a couple of presidents in between. I learned a lot from Harry. And one of the messages I have to everybody, because many of you were part of this, the community is so rich with mentors, with coaches, with people that can help you. And if you take advantage of that help, I think you're better off for it. So I am better off for it when I've been able to be around folks like Harry Honan and Monsignor Charles Fahey. I don't know if you remember Monsignor Charles Fahey. He's still around. But he was actually the diocesan director of Catholic Charities. And occasionally, like once a month, I'd be summoned to meet with him down at the diocese. And I mean, you got summoned. You better go. This was not a like, oh, gee, can I make it? Or can I put it on my doodle schedule or whatever? You were there. And you brought a legal pad, and he'd say, I have three things to talk to you about. And after that, I'd have five pages of notes. Because under each, one of the items had 7 points. Another one would have 15 points. He was unbelievable. So these are the kind of folks that I was exposed to throughout my career, and I'm really the better man for it. Consolidated Industries. Remember Consolidated Industries? And I cannot remember the name. Dr. Alan Spicer? What a wonderful man he was. So these were some of the agencies that were around throughout the 70s. Bring you up to today a little bit. Here's our strategic plan. We just updated this 2013. It goes to 2017. Peggy, Ginny, others from the board are going to be talking about the possibility of doing more updates on that, I think, this year as the new president comes in. But these are some of the things that we said, many of the things that we said we have got to be about in terms of operating principles, vision, and mission. We have three pillars in United Way. One is to give, and you know that through our annual campaign, Peggy mentioned, single largest annual fundraising. And these are the methods that we use. And note that there is wills and bequests. But, you know, we're glad to pass off and hand off those wills and bequests. I see Peter Dunn back there. The Community Foundation, Danielle Hurley, experts in this sort of thing, and we're glad to work with them on there, and we hope that sometimes they can think of us when they're working with folks. But let's hear it for the Community Foundation. Don't they do a great job in this community? So, of course, we have the traditional volunteerism and the Volunteer Center. I'm going to point out something in a minute. We still run that, but it's new. It's under volunteercny.org. It's all technology. It's all automated now. And we are working. We may get an app sooner or later that we're working on called Volue. I'm not sure it's going to happen soon. I'm not sure I'm going to see that one, but we're trying to get it as close to the state of art as possible. And finally, we talk about advocating. We talk about advocating for some of the most vulnerable people in need in our community along these lines: education, health, basic needs. So our current programs, I'll go through this really quickly. Of course, we talk about stewardship. We need to talk about stewardship in this community because the pie, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be getting larger. So we have a community program fund, currently about $4 million invested in that, 34 organizations, 91 programs. Forever Fund is part of what we would call our endowment fund. And by the way, Peggy Ogden is going to be the new chair of that investment committee. So we think that's going to double by next year. Wills and Bequests is another part of that. And then other funding sources we have, donor designations. You know, some of the staff, and I've got people here, Ellen Schwartz is here from our staff, Emily Winicky, Ginny Carmody and Kim Kemp from the Literacy Coalition are here. Those are the only ones I'm seeing. But some of the people say, gee, why do we have these donor designations? You know, donor designation left in 1977. That train left the station. I remember Harry was running United Way, and I was with Catholic Charities, and he scolded me pretty regularly about how we were violating the donor designation policies even back then. But it's been a long time, and there is an incredible value in terms of philanthropy for a community. And so I'm about embracing that. Not everybody does, but last year we are giving out, this year in our current fiscal year, about $1.7 million in donor designations. It's almost 700 organizations, not only locally but around the country because of the state and federal campaigns. We have a revolving loan fund. I see Scott Butler here from Senator Valesky's office. Scott, thank you. And the state funds this annually to about $100,000. And then our community initiatives. And I'm going to talk a little bit about community initiatives later on. But right now, that budget is going to be approaching $4.7 million. And so that's pretty significant in our world right now. And that's how United Way has changed over the last few years. So I mentioned this community program fund and $4 million. We're on well-run agencies. You know, some of the agency directors are here. They like to refer to it as the United Way Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. But you have to pass fiscal and management in order to be under the United Way's community program fund. And that's a real lift for the agencies every 3 years. But it's really important that we can guarantee and stand by them through thick or thin with the way they're organized. So in these areas, we have four focus areas right now. There's the program numbers, and then here's the real time that's happening, that there are 39 agencies that have been cleared by this fiscal and management, and there's 112 programs that they've applied for in three focus areas. We've changed now. We've combined safety net and income to basic needs. And so we will be having over these next 3 years in our cycle education, health, and basic needs. But that total of applications comes to about $7.2 million. Is that right, Emily? $7.2 million. And we're giving out $4 million. There's just never enough money. Just never is. And that's one of the things that's real dramatic about our community, because when you get to this point of passing fiscal and management, and when you get to this point about submitting programs, it's about good, better, best. It isn't about, oh, this one isn't that good. They're all good. It's about good, better, and best. And that's what the over 75 volunteers are trying to determine over these next few weeks. So some of the trends, some of the challenges that we've seen. First of all, United Way of America is no longer United Way of America. Doggone it. Get that out of your head. It's United Way Worldwide. And one of the reasons they've done this, though, all kidding aside, is because many of the corporations have gone international. They are making investments international, and a lot of countries around the world want to be part of this philanthropy. And so, and much of it is that second bullet is they are investing worldwide in this whole STEM: science, technology, engineering, and math. The other thing that everybody's talking about is corporate social responsibility. That triple bottom line: what's the product you produce? Who are the people that produce it? And then what's your image? And I can tell you it's often tied to geography and product. So, for example, Bristol-Myers Squibb, local company, not certainly corporate headquarters local, but there's a local outlet here of Bristol-Myers Squibb. They have gone international and have actually broken away from United Way because United Way didn't do enough in health with them and didn't do enough in the product that they were producing, which here is primarily medicines for animals. And so they have broken away from United Way. And we've experienced this in our worldwide network over these last few years. So one of the trends, one of the challenges is trying to keep these companies who have gone really global, try to keep them engaged in our local efforts. When they left our system, I actually was part of a early conversation that I saw it coming, where they just were not happy with United Way worldwide. They were raising about $250,000 for us every year. This past year, it was about $15,000. So in that global, in that corporate global decision-making, we sometimes get, you know, good news and sometimes not so good news. So in the workplace, United Way in the workplace, it is still our strength. So this year, we're going to raise, again, about $7 million-ish, and about 85% of that, almost 90% of that, between 85 and 90% is going to come from workplace. It's going to come from people giving $1 a week, $52 a year, or a leadership gift of $1,000. I see Hamilton White Society is named after one of Hamilton White's ancestors. Ham is here. We have lots of other, you know, step-up prizes and all of those kinds of things. But that is still our strength. However, it has changed, especially since the recession. And certainly one of the ways it's changing is technology, especially social media. You know, social media is good for those episodic, fast, I'm going to give $10. But United Way's lifeblood has been each year someone giving $52, a dollar a week, and then next year making it $1.50 or $2 or $2.50. And so we're really challenged in that whole arena now. Some of the other trends in giving, here's some of the good, bad news. So Carrier, the year before I came in 2002, I came in 2003, the year before I came in 2002, they were the largest United Way donor, $600,000. That's pretty good money, right? This year, about $128,000. Carrier has changed. However, I will tell you, it's still in our top 10 of giving, and there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of vibrancy out there, except the campus has changed, and we've tried to adapt and change with it. Upstate Medical University is now our largest campaign. This year, Dr. LaRocca Arena was very proud that she took over the chairmanship of the campaign at the hospital, and they raised, better than last year, over $528,000. That's pretty good for a public hospital, but it's public. It's not private. Okay, their salaries are fixed. No matter how many patients they see, they're still going to get the same amount of money. Okay, so you can see the difference with public and private in our world. So our top giving companies this year to date, and if anybody's here from them, I apologize. This is just to date. As of this week, it may change. But National Grid, Wegmans. Wow, I got to tell you, Wegmans is knocking it out of the park. Sherry Constantine is our vice chair this year. She will be the chair of the campaign in the fall. You watch what Wegmans is going to do. In Rochester, they are the largest campaign. They raised over $1 million in Rochester. So when you talk about corporate social responsibility and companies investing in their community, can't say enough about Wegmans. SRC Enterprise, same way. Gold standard, I think, for corporate social responsibility. Lockheed Martin, Syracuse University, Welsh Allen, Eaton Krauss Heinz, that's the old Cooper Krauss Heinz, that's now Eaton's Krauss Heinz, Anheuser-Busch, and M&T Bank. Those are our top companies right now. And remember that list of companies that I put up before. So Syracuse, China. I always love to bring up Syracuse, China whenever I'm doing a talk like this because years ago, and this is kind of special because I heard from Jack McRae the other day, who I know is a loyal TMR member, and he has signed this plate. This was done in 1978-79. This is the United Way Campaign of Central New York Pace Setters Division. It's a beautiful plate. Jack McRae signed it. I think I saw Clarence Jordan on here. Is your middle initial L? Yeah, you are. That's you. Bill Salamone. Remember Bill Salamone? Jack Belinsky, who was my boss at the time. Ned Munley, Day Brothers. Wow. Ned was involved in just about everything. And the delightful Jean Green. I don't know if you remember Jean Green, but she was terrific. So here's the story about Syracuse, China. They did this every year for United Way, and on the back, you all, probably some of you are secret Syracuse China checkers, right, where you look and see if it's Syracuse China. So next time, check and see if it says made especially for the United Way of Central New York. It's pretty neat stuff. We got a few of these things laying around, and this is pretty cool. Syracuse China did a United Way campaign year in and year out for 42 years. And the story was, when they were closing, we sent our workforce people up there. I was up there just trying to talk to people. And one lady came up to me and said, you know, I said to her, gee, would you like to know a little bit United Way about United Way? And she said, no. She goes, I know more than you do about United Way. And I said, oh, really? And she says, yes, I ran the United Way campaign here at Syracuse China for 42 years. The employee with the least amount of time at Syracuse China that day was 34 years. Think about that. Now, who stays 34 years at a company anymore? Who stays 42 years at a company anymore? You know, you got Joe Driscoll and Emily Winicky and some of you other people in that demographic, and you're not going to stay at those places that long. But it's amazing. So this is, when you talk about trends and changes, I always like to bring that up. And I want this to go to Jack McCray, Eileen, so maybe I could entrust this with you. I brought one of our handy-dandy, I'm going to entrust this to you, too. It's one of our handy-dandy official United Way of Central New York aprons for our kickoff cook-off. So if you could give that to Jack, make some sort of ceremony out of it. He was a great director of Transitional Living Services for many years. So we're talking about how we reach, how we adjust to these new workplaces, these workplaces with small to medium-sized, non-traditional, 4 to 8 to 10 to 25 employees. And, of course, we're also talking about how we adjust to retirees, many of you who are in this room, and how we create robust volunteer opportunities for you. Peggy Ogden ain't going to come and stuff envelopes for United Way. That ain't going to happen. And so I refer, Peggy doesn't know this, her ears ring every once in a while, because that's what Frank Lazarski is saying in volunteer meetings. We need to think of the Peggy Ogdens of the world, and we need to give her those robust responsibilities that volunteers should have, and that many of you can handle in this room as well. Because think about it, I think it's 10 million baby boomers are retiring every day. So I say, with the schools, with the not-for-profit organizations, this is an incredible opportunity for us that we've got to learn to adjust to and take advantage of. I wanted to show everybody, we are so proud. We are so proud of this picture that was taken at the Dome on February 22nd. We're proud because we helped Syracuse beat Duke that night. But we're also proud because this $240,000 was the largest amount of money that Syracuse University has ever raised for United Way. And so that's pretty cool. Part of it comes from the sale. I know you all have these. We didn't have them out yesterday. But this is our partnership with United, Syracuse University, where we have the Go Orange towels. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I got upside down. But in any event, this all stemmed from Syracuse University going into the ACC. ACC has a United Way partnership. It's the only conference in the country that has this. And so this was an outgrowth of that, plus some pretty good folks that had some pretty good vision. On the left there, you see Dr. Ruth Chin, who's on our board of directors, who happens to be the chancellor's wife, Peg Northrup, and next to her, Pete Sala. Pretty good vision for how this all can come together, and we are the envy of many of my colleagues for this relationship. So where are we heading with some of this, kind of where we're going in the future? Well, we've got this group called Young Leaders United. And Emily, raise your hand. Emily's here. Emily is the staff person for community impact and resource development, and one of her responsibilities is helping coordinate Young Leaders United. They make an annual pledge to United Way of $250. They do community service. They are volunteer-driven. They have their own group that runs the organization. They are part of our board of directors and committees. We now have Young Leader chapters at 4 companies, Loretto, M&T, Hainer Hoyt, Upstate. They assist the Corporate Volunteer Council with some of their projects. They do great networking. They want to hear from you all and people like you and how you got to where you are, and what you were able to do, what sort of, you know, hills did you have to climb, where were some of the pitfalls. And then we're doing a second year of the annual fundraiser for them called Pump It Forward Friday, which the date is August 26th is Pump It Forward Friday. And there they are from last year, partnership with Byrne Dairy. And again, I don't know if Bill Byrne is here, but Byrne Dairy is just an amazing partner in our community for lots of different things. And so here they, Byrne Dairy gave us the pumps that day, and said, you guys pump the gas, like the old days, you know, which I remember very well, by the way, where you wash the windshields and all of that. And we worked for tips, made over, I think, $7,000 that day. Burn Dairy put in some sponsorship money, as did a couple other organizations. And what was interesting, you'd think, well, what were the challenges here? You know what was the challenge? Was that everybody has these SUVs, these higher vehicles. They're very hard to wash their windows. These guys were tired after that. We also are developing a Women United, okay? A lot of United Ways around the country are doing what we call affinity groups. And so we've got young leaders started. We're now working on Women United. Here are some of the things that they would like to do in our community, and they are doing focus groups now to help mold and shape where we're going to be heading with Women United. So we're really pretty pleased about where this is heading. And I don't get invited to the meetings, so I don't know why. But I can't talk too much more other than say that I think it's going to be really good. Here's some of the other initiatives that we're involved with. The Early Childhood Alliance, 211, and Literacy Coalition. I mentioned Ginny Carmody is here with Kim Kemp. The Onondaga County Cash Coalition. Last year, the Cash Coalition with Earned Income Tax Credit brought in, I think, almost $3 million. Of money that people got as extra credit for working. You can't get an earned income tax credit unless you work. It's one of the best anti-poverty programs this country has. So watch that on the radar as you watch the federal stuff happening. We want to keep that. And when I mentioned 211, it's a simple number. You call 211 and you get a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week line that will help you. And if they don't have the answer to your question about human services, they'll call you back. It's a great service. Some of you will remember years ago the United Way Blue Book. Here it is. This is one of the old, I think it's one of the last ones standing. It was the helpline. It was the human services directory. And each year, look how thick it was. Sarah Merrick is smiling because Sarah remembers probably updating this. The updates on this must have been incredible. We update 211 almost daily because it's all technology-based. This was all a manual. So for $5, I think, every year you could get an updated version of it. So we'll raffle that off one of these days at one of the things here. Peter White and Community Foundation, Literacy Coalition wouldn't be where they are today without the Community Foundation. Community Foundation is a tremendous supporter. Peter, thank you for that. So I want to mention a couple of things, though, that we're really engaged with much more in depth, and one of them is Work Train. We, in our strategic planning, time period I showed you, we said, you know, we're going to try to put a stake in the ground, we're going to go deeper on an issue and see if we can't make some difference here. And so we developed with our partners, and I mentioned Dirk is here from the Gifford Foundation, Peter, Allen Foundation, Reisman Foundation, and we were able to work with Center State CEO and Dominic Robinson to get some money from the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. We've got other partners that you can see up there in the public sector county, city, Educational Opportunity Center. But the real focus was on a dual client model. We wanted to make sure that we were not only serving those people in need that were coming in for services who needed work, but we wanted to make sure that we were dealing with the employers. This is not for every employer, but for those employers that are working on this, they're seeing some amazing results. And I point to Loretto. And Loretto has hired, I believe, a couple of hundred of these folks. I may have it on the next slide here. This is a slide that was from the fall. We've updated these numbers since then. I just couldn't do it fancy enough for today, so I used the fall slide. But you can see that this is great statistic right here, that we've closed 76% of those cases that were involved with social services that came in have been closed, which means they are about self-sufficient. And 90% placement rate, that's pretty doggone good in anybody's world. So we're seeing some real movement here. This is not done. We're going to go up for another 3 years with United Way and with our partners. We've got Syracuse University evaluating this much more in depth now. Scary thing for me that if you look on there, we're still talking about people who have significant barriers in the area of coming out of incarceration and or who have no high school diplomas. And boy, isn't that something that we've got to work with. And you're going to see another slide in a minute about that. And then the other one that I want to mention is Greater Syracuse Hope. A lot of questions about this. A lot of things happening with Hope. Hope stands for healing, opportunity, prosperity, and empowerment. And you can read the vision. I'm not going to read that for you. But we are working in four different areas: education, economic, security, housing, and health. And it's powered by New York State ESPRI. I wanted Scott to see this, so I wanted to put that power. I knew he was coming today. But ESPRI is Empire State Poverty Reduction Initiative. And this is attempt by Governor Cuomo to see if he can help reduce poverty in about 16 communities. And we mentioned economic security. Juanita Perez Williams is here, and she's on that committee. And here are some of the things that we're just developing. First of all, key elements. We have a task force, executive committee, advisory council. I think we have three great co-chairs, tri-chairs, because I have to work with all three of them. I do what they tell me to do. It's great. Sharon Owens from Southwest Community Center, Helen Hudson from United Way City Council in Mothers Against Gun Violence, and Rita Paniagua from the Spanish Action League. I think those are really three formidable women who are running this effort. And to me, we're doing it a little differently. And I know we've been criticized for this because we haven't gotten some of the folks that normally get to be chairs of this. Stay with us on this. Be patient with us. We're going to be okay. We did great summer listening sessions where we heard some real powerful stuff from our community. We did 8 or 9 of them in various parts of the city. But here are some of the indicators that I want to point out to you. 9th grade dropout rate. What can we do? What strategies can we put in? This is the hard thing, is saying, okay, so if we're going to be looking at 9th grade dropout rate, what are some of the strategies that we're going to be doing in order to prevent these young people from dropping out at the 9th grade? Because obviously we want to talk about graduation rate, 61%, that's all good. But if they don't make it past 9th grade, guess what? They ain't going to graduate. And, you know, I will confess to you, too, especially now with Jaime named permanent superintendent, I talked to Sharon Contreras within a day or two of when she was leaving, when she announced it. We happened to be talking. And, you know, I got along pretty well with her, to be honest with you. And she was very loyal to United Way and did okay with their United Way campaign. But I did apologize to her because one thing she asked us, and we never were able to put it in the end zone for her, she asked us help with middle school. Middle school is about the most challenging thing that they have in public education right now. Not one of the most. Well, it's one of the most. It's not the only thing. But middle school, and she asked the agencies for help, and I don't think we did as best a job as we could have. So I apologize to that for her. And I'm glad we've got it back on our radar. You can see some of the other things. Here is one that is going to be something that everybody's going to be touched with. Violence and crime rate in our neighborhoods. Violence and crime rate in our neighborhoods. We have a initiative. We have a couple that I didn't mention. One of them is the trauma response team. They are dealing with the traumatic experiences that young people, children, and their families are having with respect to violence in their communities. Now, I grew up in the shadow of Burnett Park here. This was my country club, okay? I came to the zoo when it was the old zoo, the pool. Golf course, I wasn't very good, should have been. I got the golf balls, I'm going to be better. And played a lot of baseball and basketball up here. So, you know, I didn't have a lot. Grew up in Skunk City. I didn't have a lot. But I didn't see the stuff that kids are seeing today. I didn't see that. We didn't see kids, you know, walking by bodies that are covered for hours and hours, and brothers and sisters that are, you know, being hurt seriously or worse. I mean, we see that. So these are some of the things. When you talk about poverty, these are some of the elements of it that we've got to work hard on. You can read the others. Of course, want to get at that unemployment rate. So I'm going to be cutting myself off here with the last slide. How about that? And Brian Gallagher, who's our CEO for United Way of Worldwide, I thought really said something pretty good the other day, and I thought I would put it on here because we're constantly trying to learn from them. And he says, you know, United Way, we stay very focused on those things, those solving multidimensional problems. Well, if that ain't multidimensional enough for you, I don't know what is, okay? So we stay focused on those things. And the reason why we're 130 years old, they're a little older at the national and international level. We never forgot that we exist to help communities work on their most difficult issues together. Help communities to work on their most difficult issues together. That's what United Way has been about. That's what I've been trying to be about these last 13 and a half years. I am so fortunate to have so many people that have been a part of this. Because it really, when people ask me about, well, what is it about United Way that has made it so special for me, it's really people. It's not the things, it's not the programs, it's not the buildings. It's the people that you come in contact, all different, and not always agreeing. But if we can move that needle a little bit because of the kind of the conversation and dialogue we have, we can make a difference. So, Eileen, I'm going to end now. And so while Eileen is looking for questions, and if you don't have any, I got some filler stuff. Don't worry about it. Look at this baby that I found. So if you can't see it, this is a wonderful silver ashtray that United Way gave out in 1966. If you achieved 100% for your United Way campaign, you got one of these. They were made by the auto workers for United Way in 1966. Now, if Frank Lazarski were to give out ashtrays at our achievement event in April, I'll bet you these board members would not be that happy with me.
I don't have a question. I just want to say only Frank Lazarski could have the audacity to comment on Clarence Jordan's hair.
I've learned a lot from Clarence over the years. He's a great fundraiser. I'm going to find that picture, Bill. Thank you for that, Bill Kinney. I know it's in here because I wanted to point it out to everybody.
That was a great presentation, Frank. And I'm kind of insulted because I think I'm the only one in the room who wasn't mentioned. I'm Fred Fisk, by the way.
Are you from a local media outlet, Fred?
I used to be, and that's what my question's about. Now, the payroll savings plan is brilliant. But some of us eventually retire, and then we forget. How do you keep us in the corral after we retire?
Well, that's a great question. It's one of our challenges. So some companies, truth be told, some companies will give us their retirees, and we either help them ask them for money, or we ask them for money. Many of these are the public organizations. I see Elaine Walters smiling. County has always been very cooperative with us on this. Syracuse City School District. Some companies will say, sorry, we can't help you. They've left. So then if we're fortunate enough to have a donor's home address or home email, personal email, then we work that way. So I'll give you I'm not asking for any money today, but when you fill out your United Way pledge card, put your home address on there, okay? For those of you retired, it's a much better way. And then the other thing is they self-identify. They'll say, I've left the job. Could you send me something at home now? And we do that, too. So it's a combination. But we are trying to do a better job of doing exactly that because I got to tell you, the challenge for us is, you know, donors are leaving at a real high rate, leadership gift and beyond, and then new donors are coming in, and they're not going to give you $1,000 a year. They're just not. So having the information in order to contact that retiree has been a real challenge for us. We're trying to do better with that. Interestingly enough, how the trend has also changed, too, there are a couple of companies that I showed you up there. They won't even give us their information anymore. One of them is Lockheed. No secret. Lockheed says, security issue, we're not doing it. And they just don't. So we don't even know who the donors are, which is unfortunate because we can't thank them. So these, again, are some of the challenges that we're seeing. But you're absolutely spot on, Fred. Real, real tough challenge for us to stay if the company isn't working with us. So we're trying to make a concerted effort of dealing with the HR people on that.
I have a question about your perspective on the consolidation of not-for-profit organizations, how that's gone recently, and perhaps what the future might look like.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Peter. I guess this is a bit of a double-edged sword for me. So when I first came in, we had what we called the Capacity Initiative Fund, and we spent about $8,000 on a project for a consultant to bring Vera House and Rape Crisis Center together. And I think it was one of the best $8,000 we ever spent. Recently, Access CNY was a result of Enable and TLS coming together. I remember Child and Family Services, but I probably don't remember all the details about that. Child and Family something that became Arise. So I believe two things. One, I think those are good things. And two, and this is where it gets a little sticky, I think more of that has to happen. And I think if we don't, we are missing real opportunities. about the people. Okay, let's go back to this whole notion of Greater Syracuse Hope and about the things that we're trying to ascribe for. It isn't about the organizations. It isn't about United Way. It isn't about we're a great organization. We've been around since 1921. We've got to do what's right for the people in our community, in our community. And so I always like to say when I'm asked a question like that, Peter, let's turn our lens on the people and what's best for those families and individuals. I could name, and I'm not going to today, so don't ask me, I could name three or four organizations that would be better if they got with another larger organization for firepower with respect to personnel, purchasing, office space, administration in general, all of those kinds of things, and focused on what they do best, and that's serve people in a certain way. But I'm not going to name those today. You know who you are. But those are the things that we, I think is unfortunately I didn't do as well as I would have liked to. And there's a, by the way, and I know Peter doesn't like me doing this, but they have a strategic partnership fund at the Community Foundation that is very, very worthwhile for organizations that if you're thinking about this, that you should talk to them about that. And then finally, I would mention that you see these initiatives up here, all of them could have been 501c3s, but we have purposely and intentionally not made them 501c3s for the very reason you're mentioned. And by the way, they do bring people together in a very different way and without creating this other, the another organization. We have, just anecdotally, National Grid, a couple years ago, asked me quickly, they said, look, we've got something we want to send to the not-for-profits. We think you have the best list. Can you send us over that and we'll just the directors and their addresses. Nothing about, we never give out names of donors. And then they said, we want to send them something about a rebate. I said, sure, when you need it, I'll give it to you in about a week or so. No, we need it this afternoon. Well, in that afternoon, with Onondaga and a little bit into Cayuga, we came up with 1,500 not-for-profit organizations. 1,500. Now, think about that. When you say, gee, why do I get so much mail at home? Whatever happened to the United Way system of giving at the office? Well, guess what? There's 1,500 at least, and that's probably not enough, organizations out there trying to raise money. Trying to get you a couple of times a year for their annual mailing campaign, for special events, capital funds, dinners, all of those kinds of things. There's just an incredible amount of competition in our community. So I think for that reason as well, I think we ought to do more of that. Thank you for asking it. Sounds like a planted question, but it's an important one. It's an important one for our community to wrestle with, I think. Let me mention a couple of other initiatives while I'm waiting for a couple other questions. That I didn't talk about. I talked about TRT. ALICE, Assets Limited, Income Constrained Employed. I don't know if anybody heard us talk about ALICE. It was around Thanksgiving. But ALICE is a statewide project that we adapted with probably eight other United Ways around the country, eight other states where they have United Way. And we look at the poverty rate, and then we look at what it takes to be self-sufficient in this community where you're not living from one paycheck to the next or worried about going down that slope, falling off that cliff. And in our community, and I didn't believe this, but in our community, the annual income has to be around $61,000 a year for a family of four. Two adults, two children, both of whom are getting child care. Child care in the average is about $1,400. So we've got to do better. When you hear about the poverty or the minimum wage being raised and people becoming self-sufficient because of that, it's going to require about $15 or $16 for two people if you want to get to this ALICE number. So it's called Assets Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. And the people are working. Again, very, very proud of the fact that we're dealing with work here in at least three areas in a very, very robust way. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that to you.
Good morning, Frank. As far as I can remember, we only had one conversation, and that's when you were with City Parks. And I suggested to you at that time that it might be a good idea if park employees carried condoms for the type of people they were dealing with. And, of course, you turned beet red, and I said, well, it's a training issue.
Am I turning beet red again?
Sarah? Yes, yes. Okay. Just making sure that some things don't change. So the basis of the question is, one of the things that concerns me is good people not having the skills that they need to deal with the people they're dealing with or working with. And I was wondering what the United Way in its planning has to say about the staff training at all levels.
We are doing less and less, I will confess to you, with staff training. We had a community initiative fund and we had a capacity building fund. And unfortunately, post-recession, those two funds were wrapped into our community program fund. So we at United Way are doing less and less with capacity building and staff development. However, I do know our friends at the Gifford Foundation, especially the Community Foundation, the Allen Foundation, they've really taken up that cause and I think are doing lots of good things with that. Could there be more? Absolutely. But it's something that we made a very tactical and conscious decision that people give us money for programs and services. And I realize it's a back and forth on this, Sarah. But we had to make an intentional decision to stop doing some of those funded activities. So it's certainly a need in this community, though. There's no question about it.
Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
I do have a question, but before I raise the question, I want to make everyone aware of the fact that Frank, also in his bio, Peggy, I'd like to add, was a distinguished professor at Most Holy Rosary High School, teaching English for 2 or 3 years. I can't recall. Just an important little footnote. And also, I'd like to add to Peggy's comments on what you've done in your career for this community has been astounding. Your energy is just sitting in the room here. I think everybody's pretty fired up. But that's Frank. He's made great contributions. The community is dramatically better from what he has done. So thank you, Frank. My question.
Thank you, Jeff.
Not connected to the comments, but my question is, with respect to consolidation, what do you see coming with United Ways? I don't know how many there are in New York State, but no doubt there are many. I'm sure there's some small ones up in the North Country, very small ones, economies of scales issues. What do you see coming there? And what, if anything, has been or is being done that you can reveal? Thank you.
Yeah, so the good news and the bad news about consolidation with United Way, I'll give you the good news. So 211 is a consolidated effort that we have with United Way of Oswego and United Way of Northern New York, which covers St. Lawrence, Jefferson, and Lewis County. So 5 counties, including Onondaga, are covered with that. That's the good news. We're able to really make some strides there. United Way of Central New York is the lead agent for that, and we coordinate that, again, with the great help from Onondaga County, and Contact Community Services is our vendor for that. So that's the good news. The bad news is we still have all these little United Ways around. We have Cayuga, we have Oswego, we have Cortland, all raising probably at least less than $1 million, in some cases raising less than $750,000 or $500,000. And that goes back to my point about the not-for-profits. You know, they're paying an awful lot of money. One of those United Ways was talking to us very seriously and got a vote by their executive committee, and then the board rejected it, about joining with us, and they were spending over 40% in admin costs. Now, for the gold standard, okay, according to the National Business Council, is no more than 35%. It's 65-35. 35% on admin, no more than that, 65% on programs and services. They were spending over 40% on that. So, and I bet if we did a study with our nonprofits here locally, that could be the case too. We are typically, by the way, for the record, around 85-15. And we're very proud of that, but it's hard. It keeps us focused on things like GuideStar and Charity Navigator and those kinds of things. So we've not done a great job ourselves in United Way about consolidation. I think it's coming, though, from what I'm hearing and talking with the national office about. I think it's going to come sooner than later because of some of the things they're experiencing. One thing I will mention, and I thought somebody was going to ask about consolidation. I know I only got a couple minutes, but this zoo, as I mentioned, was something that I was very proud to be a part of when it was under the city, and then it became part of the county, and now it's County Gifford, but it's still in a city park. And these things can be done. One of the other things, and I thought Ann Messenger or Marilyn Higgins might be here today, but they had the foresight years ago, and Elaine will remember this, to do the Private Industry Council. And it was not-for-profit. Well, we were able to organize OCEDA and CEDA under my watch, under the Private Industry Council as the not-for-profit. And it proved to be very fruitful. I always like to tell the story of one of my first days. We were in the basement. You know when you go into a job and you're in the basement? That says a message to you, okay? So I finished the Young Administration. I was in the basement at Central Tech. And my office was about from here to Jeff to the county part. I was the city part. So I kept calling and calling. I couldn't get to the Lenore Seeley, who runs it now. So I got up. I walked over. I says, Lenore, I think there's something wrong with my phone. I can't dial. I'm just dialing four digits. Oh, no, she says, you have to dial out. And then it comes back in to my phone. So we were this far apart, but we were paying 10 cents to dial out every time we wanted to talk to somebody that close. That, to me, symbolizes real need for consolidation in our city and our county. Now, and towns and villages. Now, how we get there? As Monsignor Fahey, one of my mentors, said, half the fun is getting there. I think that's what we should be about in the conversations going on right now in the discussions. Half the fun should be getting there, where we're getting together and we're really talking about having meaningful conversations and not sort of, you know, throwing golf balls at each other.
Good morning, Frank.
Hi, Am.
First of all, back in the 80s, and most people don't know this, I ran a 22-county program for the United Way that raised $76 million among 9,000 employees. And we were the single largest contributor to the United Way in Onondaga County. You know that.
Thank you for that. Yes. Tell them the bank. Tell them the bank.
Oh, it's Marie Midland, which doesn't exist anymore. The point is, I have seen the changes that you talked about today in real perspective, having lived much of that. As a result of that program, we started the leadership campaign, which now generates about $2 million of funding for you. And that is a significant contribution both to the collection and funding of programs and services. I'm not looking for pat on the back on that, because that wasn't my doing. That was Harry Honan's and his dedicated people, and I worked in collaboration with him. The point is that some of the things that you pointed out here that are going on today and will be going on are exactly that, extensions of that kind of community collaboration, because this is what it's all about, is building community. And when you mentioned the HOPE Project, and you and I've had this conversation, and you know what I'm going to refer to here, concentrated poverty is the number one significant social issue for cities in the United States. It doesn't get commented on, it doesn't get reported on. But that issue drives the violence and crime, not the other way around. And there's a number of important issues that are related to that. Feel free to comment on any or all of those things, because the future of Syracuse really is the future of what you're talking about and describing today.
Thank you, Ham. I appreciate your comments. The one thing that I would comment on is, Ham is right, Marine Midland, God, we all had accounts. We had the little books, you know, at Marine Midland. We've got to adjust. And who goes to the bank? I haven't been inside of a bank to a teller in, can't remember when, to be honest with you. But we've got to adjust to that. Like United Way is trying to adjust, our community has to adjust. We can't be always, I think history is important. And I mentioned a couple of things about history today, but I think we need to be looking forward. And that's why I'm so hopeful when I see candidates that are in the room, like Joe Driscoll, Juanita Perez-Williams. Are there any other candidates here that I can mention? Dave Valesky, Scott works for him, does a great job. But that's why I'm hopeful, because I think it's time to light those torches. Not pass the torches. I think we need to light those torches, stay with them, and then work together in the future. So thank you for your comments.
Please join me in thanking Frank for spending his morning with us. 3 minutes from home.